sleep. What he has not proposed is that sleeping not be criminal. And that, of course, is the great and fundamental failing of this task force and of Mr. Crone and Mr. Sugar. They have both failed to stand up and advocate for that position or to come up with a viewpoint and say, Catherine Byers, the mayor, can have her opinion and her ideas, and that's just fine. But this is what we propose, and we will stick by this, even if we don't, you know, we don't have the votes for it. It's the right position.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't doing that. They're just trying to be, you know, part of the great coalition that has, you know, reached, unfortunately, is now in power and is, looks to me like the old coalition, unfortunately, on this issue. Very, very much like the old coalition, which is Rotkin and Matthews and Hernandez. So, I'm not happy with it, but that's kind of the update.
Well, thanks, Robert.
Sure.
Okay, well, that's all I have to say for today.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Lonely rooms. Lonely rooms get bigger than the city's glitter. The faded drapes hang straight as bars. Drunks walk curved lines to get away, to say the room full of unmade ghosts isn't looming behind their eyes. Someday the soap in the soap dish will outlive their hands, and every pair of hands knows it. Hot and cold running memories, an extra chair for everyone who's never there. Lonely tombs where occupant lies buried in his birth get bigger than the earth. Lonely rooms.
As soon as you stop trying to change the minds of those who are sick and find out that the bourgeoisie are really the problem and not the homeless, and quit calling people homeless and poor and quit fighting for the rights of poor, as I've told you for years, there ain't nobody poor here. Ain't nobody homeless here. Those are just propaganda terms, you know. You got to stop using those terms.
We're not talking to a poor man. We're talking to a rich man, Eddie Hicks, rich in many ways.
Rich in many ways. I'm not poor, I'm not homeless, and I'm not helpless.
All right.
I don't need any help.
And that's the word from inside the Cafe Royale. You're going to buy me a coffee, Eddie?
Yeah, really? Come on.
Cool.
Come on, I'll buy you.
All right. It's about time you bought me a coffee.
Where do you want one?
All right. We're talking to Madcap Mike. What do they used to call you, Mike?
Marijuana Mike.
Marijuana Mike.
Yeah.
And you're living in your vehicle, Mike?
Right, yes, I am. I am living in my vehicle.
Well, 1 o'clock in front of the Espresso Royale. And you say some folks let the air out of your tires?
Yes, and now twice now. Once about 5 days ago, and once again the night before last. See, so, yeah, and it is. It's hateful.
Well, they're just trying to take a load off your tires.
That's all. They're just trying
where
to give me a helping hand.
Where were you parked?
About a block away from the Java House, it was just a block around the corner back there up by the hill, you know, by the entrance of the tunnel there on that street.
Mm-hmm.
So I let the first air out of my tires. But, you know, and that morning I was on heading for work, and I had to get ready. Luckily, I didn't have to be at work until 2 in the afternoon, but I woke up and found out. And that's no help to get me to get to my job to where I can, you know.
What kind of work do you do?
Well, I do electronics. And so all sorts of electronics work, computer work, stuff like that.
And
you know?
And how long have you been living in your van?
Oh, about 4 years now.
In the same place or no?
Oh, no, you know, all over, actually, all over the country.
Santa Cruz this time, how long?
Oh, now about 3 months now, so.
Okay, and in the same spot?
No, I keep moving around, you know. So that share the street like everybody else should be able to, of course, you know. And it's whenever somebody lets the air out of your tire, and if they're, you know, people live in houses, obviously, you know, nearby, then they're saying that they own the street, and then they're claiming that homeless people say that they own the street and take over the street. Because,
so wait a minute, people came up and you heard them kind of criticizing homeless people in their vehicle?
Oh no, not there, no. But the air out of tires is definitely criticism on the homeless.
You think that this was not done by a personal enemy, but this was a comment on your living in your vehicle?
Oh yes. Oh, it's definitely a social statement. It's.
Well, how do you know this?
Well, you know, just by the intuition, a knowledge of history of living and experiencing life, you know, you can tell signs, you know, given by the other individuals in society, you know, methods of communication. This is definitely, you know, what they did was they let the air out by the valve stem, by loosening up that that valve there, see, and so then it causes a leak. And so,
maybe a little sign on your vehicle, vandalism is a crime, might be appropriate.
Oh, it would.
Yeah.
It would. Yeah.
Right.
True. Actually.
And
also, some other individual, they let their tire, for the, you know, but this other individual living in his car. Yeah, I live in my cargo van.
Somebody
put,
let their outside of tire?
Yeah. Twice now. So. You know,
the locals are upset,
yeah. It's definitely what it is. The locals are upset.
We're talking to an apparent panhandler on the street with a sign, "Help, I am in need," dollar sign, please care. And there's a, I don't see any $50 bills in there, a number of quarters perhaps. What's your name?
My name's Carrie.
Carrie, why are you on the streets today?
I fell into the cracks, and I am not able to crawl out right now. I can't find a way out. I don't know what to do. I've tried all the little issues, you know, all the social services, everything. I cannot find a way up. I find a way to survive, not a way out.
How long have you been on the streets?
Officially now, since June, completely since June, so about 7 months.
In Santa Cruz?
Santa Cruz.
And where have you been sleeping, let's say, for the last month?
I have a van that belongs to a friend I'm sleeping on, but it's immobile and it's on a public street, and I'm very lucky I have not been ticketed.
Have you been ticketed at all during this period?
Never.
So does this mean you think the police have mellowed out? Are you good at hiding? What's the answer?
I believe the neighborhood where I'm staying supports me in enough way that the police know that I am not an issue or a problem for that neighborhood. I think that's what it comes down to.
And do you do this frequently, sit here with this black cap on the street seeking change?
Yes, I do. It's about...
Go ahead, I didn't mean
to. I average maybe 3 days a week, about 4 or 5 hours.
The eight player, right? With the little ones.
I got the big one.
Oh.
Have you heard anything about people being beaten up by so-called troll busters?
Yes, I have. I haven't met anyone personally, but I've been hearing it quite a bit about it the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
I'm a little frightened.
Bring a tape like tomorrow or something. I'll bring it.
You saw Kat after she was beat up?
I believe that's who it was, yeah. Her face was a mess. I thought she fell down, but now I guess I know what happened.
We have to bring a tape tomorrow because apparently someone has made an interview. Well, how much do you make per hour out here?
Maybe $3.
So it's not minimum wage.
Not at all. No. Once in a while, I get a very wonderful gift of maybe $10, but very seldom.
Do you get much harassment?
Always. Always. People think I enjoy this. I tend to feel sorry for myself. I get very humiliated. I cry. I don't mean to. I just get really frustrated, and people have accused me of being fake. And, of course, I can't really say anything to that because it just hurts. It's not something they enjoy.
Any hassles from the cops?
Constantly.
How about from this clown across the street?
Not him. Not that particular one, but the community service officers are pretty nice, but the police officers and the downtown post tend to would like to see me gone.
Really?
Yeah.
So CSO Malate has never given you any problems, the Asian American CSO person?
No.
Because I know he's harassed the elderly fellow,
right there,
John Telfair. Have you seen any other people being harassed who are panhandling or spare changing?
Not from the hosts or the police, just from groups of boys, young men. They happen to say rude things and kick your hat. I've had that happen. They kick my hat. They get a job. And it's like, you don't know where I've been today, but I've been out looking and I've applied in 7 jobs today, so don't tell me to get a job. You know, give me one. Give me
one. You'll get me a job.
Give me a job because they're not hiring me for some reason. Yeah, it's tough. I hate it. I'm got a really good opportunity that can happen, but again, the cracks. I have to pay the court money to do my community service. They know I don't have the money. There's no way to work that off. so I can't do my community service, which has a deadline, until I pay court referral. I still got to pay them $75.
Well, here comes the city councilman. Would you like to talk to him?
No. No, I want to be low-key on this because I might have to do this a couple more days.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Sophia.
Nice sweater.
On the street interviews.
It is. I'm
literally on the street interviews.
I could, you don't mind if I play this for him, though?
Not at all.
Okay. She doesn't want to talk to you directly, but she's willing to have me play this interview for you.
Okay.
All right.
But I've been out here too long. You know, I've been out here off and on for 3 months now. Too much. Too well known.
Well, the problem with the city council members is they're a bunch of fucking chicken shits.
Yeah.
And they won't do anything about the sleeping ban. And my problem is I'm too nice to him. See, he's something being nice to him. It's hard to insult somebody with a child in their arms. But unfortunately, they need to be insulted because they are insulting all of us by not making changes in these anti-homeless laws.
If they don't, those children may very well be out here. You know, they got to do something now because their little kids are going to be out here. It's a matter of a paycheck. I know a lot of people like that. I've seen people using their credit cards to buy groceries. This is getting out of hand. It's wrong, you know? I might even think the people out here that are asking for help get the last cash. There's hardly anything such thing as cash anymore. It's really sad. It's really sad. It bothers me.
So if somebody wants to offer you a job, what kind of skills do you have?
I have everything from fast food service, office management, air freight companies, shipping, photography background, Navy trained, very good.
Why don't you go get a job at Taco Bell?
They haven't hired me. I've applied 12 times at the one on Soquel.
What about Burger King?
Same thing. Says they're hiring. I never can speak to a manager.
Well, how about McDonald's?
I have experience there and they haven't hired me either. And it says they're hiring.
Coffee roasting company?
That I haven't tried. I don't know if there's a job or not. I usually go for the hiring jobs, but I don't know if it's because I don't speak Spanish or I'm too old or something.
How old are you?
I'm 40. Just turned 40.
And a good-looking 40 at that, I might add, all you... How about prostitution? Have you considered prostitution?
I haven't considered it, but I sure have had a lot of offers, and it's very, very discouraging. Very discouraging.
Have you had much contact with people, men or women, who try prostitution?
No, I haven't. No.
How is your contact with other homeless people? Do you have a lot of contact with folks or not?
No, I usually am... I'm used to just being my partner and I alone, quiet, trying to survive, but now that he's gone, I'm opening up a little bit and bumping into people. That's the only information you get that's right is from other homeless people. You certainly don't get the right information on how to survive from the social services department.
they've misinformed you?
They don't inform me of anything. They have no information about anything. It's very frustrating.
Don't they have a lot of forms that you can fill out and some fine pieces of literature you can pick up from their office?
They do, but it doesn't explain steps that you need to go through to get to this paperwork, from this paperwork to this paperwork, and nobody seems, they just kind of say, go do it, go here, and then you go there and you find out you have to go back here. The only people that know anything are the people who've been out there and done it. I want to change that, too. I hate it.
So irritating.
Well, when did you first begin doing the spare changing thing here? And we're, of course, sitting right outside Blockbuster Video, which I assume doesn't give you any trouble.
Since I came to Santa Cruz about 4 years ago, off and on, even though I was working, in order to pay my rent, at times I would have to come out maybe two or three times in a month or a day or two sometimes. So it's been off and on, but... not as a way of life. So I guess as a way of life, it's only been since the last 3 months, very seriously.
And you do about 3 days a week out here?
Yes.
How many hours a day?
Probably about four or five. So I usually go home with maybe between $12 and maybe $18.
Anything you want to say to our Free Radio Santa Cruz audience?
Thank you for listening.
Well, we're not making commercial profit off this. If we were, we'd, of course, have to give you 50% at least. Probably we should start trying to charge. So if you want to donate to...
Carrie Mandich.
To Carrie, you can frequently find her down at Church and Pacific, is that accurate?
Yes, and you can just offer me work. I'm a very good worker.
So, give a call to 423-4833 if you have a job for Carrie, or you would like to offer assistance of any sort, and I'll pass on the word.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, Carrie, I was going to say Carol, but no. I was going to offer you a cup of coffee, but your cup is almost empty, but there's a reason why you declined that. Why is it?
Because there is no place to go to the restroom.
Well, what about City Hall? That's only two blocks over.
Not that I know. There's a bathroom in there.
There is a bathroom in City Hall. It's actually two blocks over and a half a block.
Am I allowed to use it?
You are allowed to use it.
Does it have running warm water?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, I can wash my hands with warm water?
But it may be closed today because today is President's Day.
Holiday,
right?
That's right. No wonder everything's closed.
Actually, there is also a bathroom in the parking garage.
Parking garage, yeah.
So you can go there.
Yeah, that's a good place.
Let's keep that in mind.
Okay.
Not exaggerate.
Okay, there is another
bathroom. She really is having a fine time out here as usual, complaining, but really enjoying life.
Right.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.
This song was taught to me several years ago. And there's one that I've enjoyed for a long time. This is the song we needed to hear as we were growing up. So, a slightly new angle on the witches. The song is by Bonnie Lockhart, and the name of the song is Who Were the Witches? Who were the witches? Where did they come from? Maybe your great, great, great grandma was one. Witches were wise, wise women, they say. And there's a little witch in every woman today. There's a little witch in every woman today. Witches knew all about flowers and trees, how to use all the roots and the bark and the leaves. When people grew weary from hard working days, witches made them feel better in so many ways. Try it. Who were the witches? Where did they come from? Maybe your great, great, great grandma was one. Witches were wise, wise women, they say. And there's a little witch in every woman today. There's a little witch in every woman today. Women had babies, the witches were there to feed them and help them and give them some care. The witches knew stories of how life began. Don't you wish you could be one? Well, maybe you can. Who were the witches? Where did they come from? Maybe your great, great, great grandma was one. Witches were wise, wise women, they say. And there's a little witch in every woman today. There's a little witch in every woman today. Some people thought that the witches were bad. Some people were scared of the power they had. The power to heal and to help and to care. Isn't something to fear, it's a treasure to share. Who are the witches? Where did they come from? Maybe your great, great, great grandma was one. Witches were wise, wise women, they say. And there's a little witch in every woman today. There's a little witch in every woman today. What's up? Who are the witches? Where did they come from? Maybe your great, great, great grandma was one. Witches were wise, wise women, they say. And there's a little witch in every woman today. There's a little witch in every woman today. There's a little witch in every woman today.
And that was Who Are the Witches? From Kristen Lim's fine album, We Will Never Give Up. She's one of those little-known singers that I love to play again and again.
You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrob Spears Broadsides. I'm Robert Norse. This is the Sunday edition. We're here every Sunday at 11 to 1:30 and every Thursday from 6 in the evening to 8. If you have anything you want to put on the air, any comments you have, you can call us at 427-3772. That's the studio line. Or you can give us a call off-air at 423-HUFF. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, 423-HUFF. H-U-F-F 4833. We have a demonstration coming up this afternoon, if it's not pouring, and you'll have to judge yourself by looking out the window. That'll be in front of New Leaf at 2 o'clock, and again, our aim to put the City Council, the Chamber of Commerce, the Downtown Association, and the city generally back on track regarding the rights of homeless people to end the sleeping ban in some suitable sections of the city, and to proceed to move the city at least into the 19th, if not the 20th century, before we hit the 21st. I'm looking right now at the City Council Agenda Report, which is going to be coming up day after tomorrow at City Council at 7 o'clock at City Hall, where I invite everybody to show up with their signs and their sleeping bags. Task Force Report makes this recommendation: that the City Council, 1, introduce an ordinance amending Chapter 6.36 of the Santa Cruz Municipal Code, that's the camping ordinance, and 2, by motion establish 2 task forces, a task force to address needs of the homeless community identified in the course of this review, and B, a task force to address the availability of public restrooms in the city. The City Council's, I'm going to read some of the background of this report. City Council Task Force to Review the Camping Ordinance was created by the City Council on December 8th as part of an 8-point motion directing various actions with respect to homeless issues. Actually, there wasn't much action at all, except for this task force. That was the primary action. And task force charge was to review the camping ordinance and report back in February with any recommended changes. Note, not review the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance and look for a way for homeless people to sleep, which would have been a focused approach and an educational one, and one that might not have intimidated the neighborhoods and the merchants quite so much, but instead a general vague description about the camping ordinance, which of course led nowhere, leads nowhere, and apparently will lead nowhere. And we'll continue to read about this. During the month of January, the task force held 9 focus group sessions to elicit the perspective of various interests in the community. Meetings were held with homeless service providers, county social service agency reps, law enforcement reps, homeless activists, the Downtown Association, the Chamber of Commerce, the homeless, 2 sessions, and the Harvey West business and residential community. In addition, members of the task force had individual contact with various other neighborhood groups. One might say closed-door contact, because that's how these focus sessions were originally planned by Mayor Byers until we forced them open in January. In fact, the first two task force meetings were secret or private. We weren't informed of them. We only got to them in January when we finally had forced them open. It also included a public forum to receive input from the community at large. 112 persons attended, and 59, I understand the number is actually 60, spoke at the 3-hour session on January 25th. That's what my producer, Becky Johnson, who tape recorded the whole thing and actually logged all the calls for an article which you can read in last month's issue of Street Spirit. If you're interested in Street Spirit, that's a homeless paper sold on the streets. Anyway, the continuing with this discussion of the City Council Task Force's document, they also claimed that they had regular meetings on a twice-weekly basis. Well, not really. But I would say they had occasional meetings, and their twice-weekly schedule was occasionally followed, in which considerable time was set aside to receive public comment. That's true. But they didn't listen to or really interact with the public comment. And none of the public comment, other than David Silva's, made it into any kind of final version of the camping ban amendments. And that could be David Silva calling in now.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
This is Deadweight David Silva.
Now, let's not criticize ourselves too harshly, David.
Oh, I was using your words, Robert.
Oh,
a couple of Thursdays ago when I offered, if you're going to do nothing, at least try to fashion some relief. And it was a series of things which primarily depended on if them excluding sweeping and covering up from rising to a misdemeanor section, which they failed not only to do in this proposal, but they failed to even acknowledge remembering every single time it was brought up.
So clarify that for our audience and kind of go through that slowly and simply.
Basically what happened a couple weeks ago when Catherine declared that she didn't want to change a single word of the camping or sleeping ban.
That's Mayor Byers.
Yes, mm-hmm. Mayor Catherine Byers. I just quickly said, if you're not going to do nothing, then at least try to offer some relief, I said, because this is just, you know, I mean, I was just taken out in the hallway prior to the meeting by Keith Sugar and told, we told you this was going to be give and take, and, you know, it sounded like it was all give to me. So begging for crumbs from the table for the poor, I've been characterized as deadweight David Silva. But I don't mind.
Only on one occasion. I think that was said in the
heat. Well, I prefer that you refer to me as the Oracle of the West.
The Oracle of the West.
Well, remember the Oracle in the Berkeley days? The old Oracle?
Yes, I do. That's a paper in the Haight, very beautiful paper in the Haight-Ashbury in the late 60s.
I'd like to think of myself as a very beautiful newspaper.
Well, we'll have to see if you're black and white and red all over.
It was actually that paper was actually quite often purple.
Uh-huh.
But to get to the point, Robert, I just really, I guess I'll have to just swallow it. People constantly, including the council, referring to this as David Silva's proposals. I mean, you know what my proposals were.
Oh, yeah.
I made the minimum human rights proposal, a minimum reshaping the ordinance so it could at least start serving, you know, as a camping ordinance rather than an anti-homeless ordinance. And then I made a maximum recommendation, you know, so I had two minimums, one moderate and one maximum recommendation. Those were not put on the table. Those were not discussed. Neither was our sleeping initiative until the very last day, although it was it, along with the results of the negotiations from the closed summer negotiations with Scott Kennedy, also were submitted to him the very first, but that seems to have also been lost. Very frustrating for us to engage and criticize the city council when they're going to so easily humiliate and embarrass themselves by sitting there and talking about whether you torture people for 9.5 hours or 4 hours. If they want to do that, I think we should let them go ahead and do that, and we should be about attacking the true enemies, which seems to me to be that this is, more than anything else, a pet ordinance of the police. The sleeping ban is a way for the police administration to have a wide swath with the law, criminalize a whole class of people, therefore you can find, you know, a little crime here, a little crime there, a little crime there, get the bonus points, get the credits, get the grants for fighting the war on drugs, get all that stuff. But basically, you did it by criminalizing a whole class of people. That's not acceptable, and that's what needed to be addressed, and that is being ignored, and I think it's really important that that's being ignored. And so it's because of the police. Mm. And the people that rallied the most amount of letter writing and fear-mongering was the administration of the Chamber of Commerce. I submit to you that Michael Schmidt and the people that sit on the head of the executive board of the Chamber of Commerce do not represent the business interests in this town. I think our campaign, our criticism should be directed toward police and business, and we shouldn't fall for criticizing the city council who've got their own tar baby on their hands right now, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm. Well, what I saw at the last task force meeting was all the business people in the front row, most of those were downtown association, not Chamber of Commerce people, nodding in agreement with Catherine Byers, I'm not going to call them Silva's changes because I know that they're not what you really proposed. They are what you proposed in desperation.
Scrambling for crumbs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they are Byers changes. They are Byers cosmetic changes concurred in by Sugar and Crone. And I'd like to point out a couple of other things.
Well, Crone, I think, pushed hard for that. Something of the Paul Brundell version.
Well, I don't think I can't agree with you there, because if they had pushed hard, they could have had a minority report. They are two out of three votes.
Even at this secret meeting of the bourgeois housed and middle class.
You're talking about a meeting that happened on, this last Saturday?
Yeah.
Yesterday?
The one that the lower class excluded from, who trying to put some kind of honorable face on this. Did not agree with Catherine.
Oh,
they agreed
nice.
With Keith.
Yeah, I know. That's very nice.
And Sandy Brown.
I'm sorry. Whether they agree or not does not impress me. Whether they stand up and speak about it.
They're not an organization. They're just a bunch of middle-class people that represent progressive interests in this town. And they don't represent. They disagree with Catherine. So I would wish you wouldn't alienate so many of our allies constantly.
If you're speaking honestly, I alienates allies, and I'm afraid I'll be alienating allies from here until the end of the year.
Well, it's a critical time right now, Robert. I'm calling for people that are interested in actually divvying up the criticism of the actual proposal that's going to be there to meet at the library at 5 o'clock on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
If you have demonstrators and so forth organized to meet for demonstrations, that's great. But those who are going to be speaking, especially members of the Community Appeal Sleeping Band, please let's meet at the library. I'll try to reserve the upstairs room at 5 o'clock. And let's divvy up, because this stuff is real easy to criticize, but we need to not... We need not to miss anything.
You know, I think it is an excellent idea for people to get together with you, David, and all of us at the library at 5 o'clock on Tuesday, February 23rd.
Okay.
I do want to point out, however, and some of us talked about this actually 2 or 3 days ago, whether it would be worthwhile to try to get an alternate proposal to Keith Sugar or Chris Krohn. In fact, we offered them these options. We said, look, we'd love to give you an alternate proposal which contains don't ticket unless there's no shelter beds available. Oh, don't ticket except in certain industrial areas. Obvious ideas of the Sleeping Ban Repeal Initiative put forward. And candidly speaking, these people, and I have to say it, are utterly gutless. I've seen them making public statements again and again defending this buyer's bullshit, and that is exactly what it is.
I haven't seen very many people defending this buyer's bullshit, and your characterization of the newsletter is not the letter that was supposed to go out. And it didn't. It only went to the file. Another scan letter can go into the file. What went to the scan membership was abolish the crime of sleeping and show up and speak out.
It's not what's going to the city council, however.
Went to the file, and that was the director being told by people that Nora Hockman's thing was too long and to beef it up to make it look more legitimate. So what he did is he went to attended a couple of meetings.
Right. I've already explained.
Put the proposal in it.
I explained to the audience. Yeah. Actually, you just got back from.
Well, church. I heard you talking to Roxanne. And I think you mischaracterized Scan's position.
Well, I have a letter here under the Scan.
You understand how
which
an executive secretarial thing can happen.
Well, if it's a misletter by Scan, I want to see a second letter repudiating it, and I want to see it by the time the city council meets.
Well, I'd like to get a hold of Nora Hockman letter and have that put in the file, because I understand it was direct to the point.
I would like that. But right now I am stuck with
this
letter.
But what went to the Scan members was abolish the crime of sleeping, show up and speak out.
Right. Well, I mean, I would love to see them speak out. I don't think that Krohn and Sugar are going to change unless they get a lot of pressure from...
What I was trying to say is that, you know, this section, that they're whatever this hinge pin thing of, you know, notifying the city attorney and so forth, if we can get Keith to agree to that being notifying the police that night... to not give tickets, rather than notifying the city attorney the night after.
You're referring to the winter shelter armory provision.
Yeah.
Actually, I should read to
folks. I call it the trigger mechanism.
Yeah, it says that...
But that's the weakest trigger.
Citations issued when winter shelter armory is full. Any citation issued for a violation of this chapter shall be dismissed by the city attorney in the interest of justice if at the time of citation issuance the winter shelter at the Santa Cruz National Guard Armory is filled to capacity. I'd like to point out a couple things about this provision. First of all, it has no impact whatsoever starting March 15th.
Right, when that's there the is most no interesting thing about it.
It may have no impact whatsoever next year because we don't even know if we're going to have the armory
next year. It's the most interesting thing about it, yeah.
So, and the third thing is that this whole thing has to do, as you point out, with it's not a directive to the police department, it's just a directive to the city attorney, and the police will continue harassment as usual, or at least they have that power. And I tend to agree with you that this is a police department initiated and supported ordinance, and that's why it's there.
That's
I don't really agree with you that the focus should be on criticizing the police and the Chamber of Commerce. I got no problem with criticizing those people, because I believe that the people who have taken the main decisions in this matter have been three city council members masquerading as a bunch of liberals who are actually nothing of the kind on this issue.
Okay, but you're talking about having Keith Sugar or Chris Krohn introducing some amendments. So let's not call them names right now. Let's call them up and say, Keith, can't you change that so that they notify the chief of police? Instead of being the armory guy, can't you have it be some kind of general homeless services rep?
It doesn't matter. If he makes that minor change, it will not affect people for the next 8 months. Instead of being a winter shelter,
it'd be someone from homeless services.
Who's okay? Now, what proposal are you making?
And have him propose it to the police.
Okay,
there doesn't seem to be enough services tonight.
I see. So we're talking about any time of the year.
Right.
If shelter is not available, that tickets not be issued.
Right.
I would say that would be a major change, and I would encourage people to support that.
To me, that would fall in line with what the kind of thing that Keith was trying to do, for the past, 3 or 4 weeks, and ended up with what we got. And I think that, you know, he would be acceptable to an amendment like that, but not if you're going to insult him.
Well, you said...
And now Chris, however, could come up with since he does seem, Chris, even Catherine recognized that there's something wrong with the sleeping thing if she could only find sleeping zones. We got that out of her. Now, if that to me means that the sleeping and covering up sections should be excluded for the misdemeanor, since she's so concerned about the penalty section, Chris could do her that favor by introducing that amendment.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that we're talking about, you know, making a...
Let me interrupt
it's,
you, David.
It's sort of like making a more favorable form of slavery. It's disgusting.
David, hang on a second. I mean, what you're saying is very important. My concern is that many people in the audience are not going to be able to follow it in the detail. I think it's very important that they do. And I'm going to suggest that if folks are interested in, as I will be, and I'm going to be talking to you hopefully after the show about this in detail, that folks show up at 5 o'clock on Tuesday at the library, second floor of the library, but more important, that they call the city council and talk to, leave a message for Christopher Crone and Keith Sugar, asking Christopher Crone, you're proposing that he propose an amendment that make sleeping and covering up with bedding non-misdemeanors in all circumstances, correct?
Right, exclude that from the
misdemeanor section.
Right.
So call up all you callers, and if you've got your notebooks down, call Crone and say, sleeping and covering up with blankets should not be a misdemeanor. I think it should not be a crime.
It should not be a crime.
So do you. But, yeah. I mean, we'll say for the time being, you can say this.
It works within the framework of what they're doing right now.
Right. Say it shouldn't be a crime, but if you're too gutless to do that, I don't use the word gutless, of course.
Yeah.
Then instead, if you feel it's more appropriate to make it only an infraction, then let's make sure it's an infraction. So you can call 420-5020, all you callers out there, and you'll have to wait to get the message to see what Crone's next
number is.
I think it's 6, but I'm not sure.
I think it's 6, but I don't remember.
Then you can also call council member Sugar, and just don't call him Sugarheart. That might get him upset. He might reconstrue that as an insult, which I would never want to happen, and suggest to him that, gosh, after all these weeks and weeks, maybe what he can do is establish, say, simply no tickets unless shelter is available. Period.
Yeah, instead of going to the city attorney,
not
he goes
going to
the
city attorney. Director of the chief of police that all year round, no tickets unless shelter is available. And you can get that by dialing 420-5020 and push 2. 420-5020 and push 2, because Keith Sugar is the vice mayor of Santa Cruz.
You sure it's 2?
I am sure it's 2.
Okay. Now, another thing, if
so wait a minute. Maybe, hold it. Hang on a second. Hold it. It's not 2. 2 is buyers.
Yeah. I think it's
probably 3. But again, I guess
1 is everybody, 2 is buyers, 3 is Sugar.
Right. I think that's correct.
Yeah.
It used to be
the other way, Robert.
Yes. So if you're unsure of any of this, just give a call to 420-502 and wait for the directory, and you'll hear. Again, you tell Crone sleeping should not be a crime, and at least not a misdemeanor, and you tell Sugar, ask that no tickets unless the shelter is available, and that the police be directed to no tickets unless shelter is available. Not no tickets to be pressed by the city attorney, but no tickets given by the police unless shelter is available. Frankly, I think this is a good effort to put in this initiative energy.
It's the most we can get at this last moment. I'm unfortunate. Besides just shutting
and
the
also,
whole city
of course, bring
down.
Your sleeping bags and be ready to sleep there tonight.
Besides just shutting
Tuesday
the whole
night.
Show down.
Well, I don't think that would shut it down. I think we should use the city council as a fine shelter. It should be used as such.
Okay.
Why not?
There's Portuguese Hall. There's all kinds of places. In
oh, yeah.
Town. Hey, we've got about two-thirds of the signatures of people that signed our initiative for the safe sleeping zones last year entered, our master computer guy has run them against the voter registration, so they have the latest up-to-date phone numbers, and these are people that actually signed.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't know what's happening Tuesday night.
So you want people to volunteer.
I mean, it's sickening to read the Sentinel most of the time, so you know, a lot of people don't know. So we need people to make phone calls, and also people that want to make phone calls to look up in the phone book for those that, you know, didn't put their phone number on the voter registration card.
Mm-hmm. So you need people to do some research and to make phone calls, and you need people fast.
Need fast, because we need to get there for Tuesday night, and especially then we'll try to get a mailing, and we're going to need money. Try to get a mailing to get people there for the public hearing on Tuesday. Now, if we get these city council persons to make these amendments, that means that we'll have 2 readings, so we'll have an additional meeting to be able to bring people out. But it looks like this thing is railroading pretty fast. We're only getting 1 public hearing. The ordinalizing and agendizing is all taking place Tuesday, and that's going to count as our first reading.
So, but certainly you want people. Do you want them to call you, or should they call me, and I will call you? What would you like?
Yeah, if they could call you, Robert.
So if people want to help David on either making phone calls to the folks, there were literally thousands of people who signed this petition to make it legal for people to sleep. Not just that sleeping be an infraction, not just that there be, you know, if there's a shelter bed, but legal to sleep, period. Basic human right, which David and I both agree is sort of the minimum provision. But what David is suggesting is just to get the city council to do something that will provide, again, some relief.
Because basically this task force process has been an alerting of those who are against repealing the camping ordinance and alerting them and getting them involved and getting them activated. Mm-hmm. And the organizations that endorsed us last year were slow to coming around. It wasn't until Catherine was covered in the press as saying she's going to do nothing before they started waking up and realizing to our support. Plus, we had this whole pool of people that signed the petitions. We need to contact them, so please,
so in
people,
order
to help, do something, help.
So in order for it to provide help, please call 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I will put you through to David, and we'll get you to work on this. We've only got about 48 hours to do it.
Yeah, lots of phone numbers.
And I also encourage you, is it raining outside or not? What's the story?
It's having bursts.
Okay, I think there's probably still is a protest going on at 2 o'clock in front of New Leaf, or maybe, and I will probably show up with my umbrella just to be sure. Well, David, you'll be having a meeting at 5 o'clock, I guess, 5 o'clock on Tuesday before the 7 o'clock city council meeting, where we'll be kind of dickering on strategies and assigning discussion topics and, you know, loading our howitzers, our intellectual howitzers.
I've got tons of information of where the police didn't come through with the facts they promised and how they tarnished this whole process.
I want to thank you for the fine job you've done, David, and I used to call you Dead On David, or the Oracle,
the
if
Oracle
you will,
fine.
The Oracle of Santa Cruz. But whatever, do stay with this, and folks out there, David cannot do this alone. He acts like he can, but he can't.
We need to push on all fronts. I mean, right now, to me, it's an all fronts push, whether you're into civil disobedience, sleeping in the parks, protesting in whatever way, phoning, writing letters. It's an all-fronts push right now. So, you know, nobody's wrong as long as we're all being peaceful and loving.
Hey,
bye-bye.
Thank you, David.
And we are approaching the last 6 minutes of our fine show here, and the Little Red Hen is preparing to proceed with her show after hours. You've been tuned to Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides. I guess just a few more things before we leave here. Again, as usual, I have many, many tapes I wish I had time to play, and I don't. This task force report, if you want to read it, is on file at the library, which is open today from, I believe, 12 to 4. Not a lot of time to read it. But if you go down to the protest at New Leaf and you get bored or rained out, you can always wander over to the library to check out the task force report. They come up with some, they have more stuff, which I'm going to run through briefly. They claim they evaluated the results of the ordinance by city police, park rangers, enforcement results. They actually, the evaluation was sort of mechanical. They did not look into whether people were being arrested who had no legal place to sleep, which is the key issue. That was never investigated by the task force. And I would wonder why this gaping absence was there. They also claim they looked at examined the ordinances and camping regulation experience of similar coastal communities, Santa Barbara, Santa Monica, San Luis Obispo, California, Eugene. Actually, all they did was they sent for the ordinances, existing ordinances in those communities, but did not examine periods of time when, like in Santa Barbara, the sleeping ban was lifted, and whether that resulted in an upsurge of people coming to town, or whether it resulted in increased problems with the social services, or whether it resulted in problems in the neighborhoods, which is what the claim of many neighborhood rump groups like that headed by Freitas, the downtown neighbors. So in other words, they didn't look into what would really happen if you lifted the sleeping ban, which is what 3,000 people asked them to do last year, at least put that on the ballot. They claim that all documentation has been maintained on file in the council office for review by council members and made available for public review at the central branch. No, the tapes have not been made available, at least they were not as of 2 or 3 days ago, but hopefully they eventually will be. The tapes, by the way, that only began to happen because some of us insisted on taping, and the city council staff finally got the idea that wasn't such a bad idea. If you look at their general observations and conclusions, you again see how they have blurred the focus in order to avoid dealing with the issue. The unsheltered population is diverse in its characteristics and its needs. Yeah, that's true, but so what? Concerns of the citizens regarding camping sleeping are focused more on behavioral problems of some campers than on the physical act of sleeping. Yeah, but so what? There is widespread interest and willingness on the part of neighborhood residents and business owners to help the homeless who need and desire help. This is the most meaningless kind of statement I've ever heard of, and of course it's a false statement because the basic help that people need is the right to sleep at night. I mean, before you start with anything, yeah, let's go for other things, but let's start there. They won't even allow that to happen. How can they make such a statement on this task force report? With respect to the camping ordinance, then again, they continue with false statements like, the ordinance regulates the act of sleeping. No, the ordinance bans sleeping at night. That's not regulation. That's something quite different. It is a form of banishment for people who the police want out of town. It's nowhere made clear in this report that that's what this is. That regulatory parameters should be properly limited to the subject of the ordinance camping, but until there is a common consensus on where it is acceptable to sleep, the council is unable to recommend recommendations. What that means is, until they can come up with a place for people to sleep, you can't sleep anywhere. Preposterous position, and one which they would not in any way be able to hold if it were middle-class people involved in the situation. Well, I could go on for hours, but the little red hen here is going to get redder and redder until I get out of the studio. So I'm going to put on a little music. I'm going to invite you to join us on Thursday at 6 o'clock. And, of course, come down on Tuesday. We're going to be doing some, hopefully, maybe live broadcasting. If we can find somebody with a cellular phone out there, give a call to our voicemail at 427-4523. If you have a cellular phone, you're willing to lend free radio during the Tuesday evening city council meeting, and we will do live broadcasts with the permission of people during that period of time if they want to do that. Come back at 6 on Thursday for the next edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. That's what you've been listening to for the last 2.5 hours. And perhaps we'll talk to you about, we'll hear more about the very successful protest we had at the town clock. The students against the sleeping ban had a march up and down the avenue that was really wonderful. Perhaps Vinny, the V-Man, will be playing some of that on his show. And we would have had a fine protest yesterday, but we got rain down the road, and may or may not get rain down the road at 2 o'clock today. So, hey, check it out at the New Leaf at 2 o'clock if it looks like the sun is peeking through. And come on back after you've brought your sleeping bag to City Council at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. Stop in at the library at 5 to check out the...